All right, welcome to The Good Neighbor, News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm your host, Henry Lake. I am in for Paul and Jordana today. Not only today, but tomorrow and Monday as well. So they have a few days off. I am in from 3 until 6 alongside producer David Josephson. Looking forward to the next few days of hanging out with you guys here on The Good Neighbor. We got a cool show today. As you just heard at the top of the hour, news update with Laura Oakes, developments in the George Floyd case in regards to, officer or former officer Derek Chauvin. We're going to talk to local attorney Mike Bryant from Bradshaw and Bryant next segment, about what today's developments mean.
Henry, hold tight for a second. We need to head over to Laura Oakes in the newsroom here.
Okay.
Great. Thanks, Henry. Sad news to pass along here. The Minnesota Vikings announcing today that Matt Blair has died. And I'm sure you know much more about Matt Blair's long career with the Vikings than I do, but just passing that along this afternoon, it just crossed the wires for us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a personal one for me. And the reason why it's personal is because, wow, I wasn't ready for that one. Thank you for that, Laura. Is because when my mother and father were friends with Matt Blair, and I'm going to have to, in the next commercial break, let my father know about that tragic news. Matt Blair was really, really, really good friends with my Aunt Hazel. And they hung out a lot, and he my Aunt Hazel introduced Matt Blair to my mother and father when he was playing with the Minnesota Vikings. And Matt Blair, you know, when I was a kid, was one of my favorite members of the organization. And when you think about Matt Blair, you'll think about the block kicks and all that stuff, right? Like he was just he was a really good football player. And then I know that when I think about Matt Blair and his post playing career, one of the things that stood out and everybody knew about Matt Blair was his love for photography. Anybody that knows anything about Matt Blair knows that he loved to go out and be a photographer and take pictures. That was something that he was extremely passionate about. This is surprising and shocking news to hear, and I'm glad that Laura Oakes just gave us the heads up on that here on the show. I'm catching you totally off guard, DJ, as this news is catching me off guard. Do we have Matt Blair's age?
No,
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll have to track that down. We'll have more updates throughout the show here.
We'll figure it out. That's some very, very sad news. And as we get more information into CCO, we will absolutely be passing that along. I don't even really know how to transition to anything else here in this particular segment.
Just a little more here. Okay. Looks like Matt Blair was 70 years old.
Okay, 70 years old. 70 years
far old. Too young.
Yeah, far too young. Far too young. 70 is a young age. So we'll get more information as the evening goes on and the show goes on as to more information in regards to the passing of a Minnesota Viking great, Matt Blair, here today. I do want to mention this because I felt like this week Minnesotans got a bad rap. And what I mean by that is, you know how this thing works whenever we get snow? Whenever we get the first snow in Minnesota, what ends up happening? People will say, hold on, why are we complaining? We're Minnesotans. We deal with snow all the time. We know how to get around. Why are you upset that we're having to deal with a little bit of precipitation, a little bit of snow? It's not that bad. Which typically I think that we all can agree upon, right? We hear those things and we even say those things. I've said those things, right? And that's a sentiment a lot of times. I think in this regard, though, this week, Minnesotans got a bad rap because this wasn't the typical first snow. I don't know if you feel that way, DJ, but this was not the typical. This was something where people could be like, okay, yeah, this was, yeah, we got dumped on this week. You know, if you want to complain a little bit, if you want to say that the roads weren't great, you can go ahead and say that. If you look at the numbers in terms of the spin outs and the wrecks and the crashes and all of that stuff, whatever, it bears out that this was a very significant snow. And anybody that knows anything about driving around in snow or snow in general in Minnesota weather knows that this is a significant snow. So I just think that whole entire thought process about, you know, suck it up. And we are going to suck it up. We have no choice to suck it up. But the bottom line is this was not that little bit of a dusting. This is the real thing.
Well,
this
yeah,
is a good amount of snow.
Yeah, it was the second highest snowfall ever in the month of October, only second to the famous blizzard of 1991. And yeah, I think Minnesotans love to complain about it. But look, it's likely that we get a couple of weeks in November. Paul even has said that the, you know, trend for early November is warm. We could get a week of 50s and sunny in November, and, you know, no one's going to be complaining then. We're all going to be out finishing up our raking and enjoying the nice weather. And that's just how it goes in Minnesota. And you can either complain about it or you can enjoy what you get.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. All right. Some news in the George Floyd murder case today with regards to charges for Derek Chauvin. What does it all mean? We'll talk to local attorney Mike Bryant from Bradshaw and Bryant. Henry Lake in for Paul and Jordana here on CCO. All right. Welcome back to News Talk A30WCCO. Henry Lake in for Paul and Jordana on this Thursday afternoon. Earlier today, we had some news in the George Floyd murder case. The third-degree murder charge in the killing of George Floyd against Derek Chauvin has been dismissed. Judge Peter Cahill released his rulings this morning that he was dismissing the third-degree murder charge, but he denied dismissing the second-degree murder charge against Chauvin. More information you can find at WCCORadio.com. But joining us now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline to break this down and get us some answers to some questions that we may have, local attorney Mike Bryant from Bradshaw and Bryant. Hey, Mike, it's a pleasure to be on the air with you today. How are you doing?
It's a joy to talk to you. I've followed you on Twitter. It's great to talk to you.
It's a pleasure to have you on, man, and have this conversation. And you know, because when we got questions from a legal perspective, we need to go to a great legal mind, and you are that. So the first question I have for you is, why was the third-degree murder charge dropped?
Well, the third degree requires a depraved mind. That's what we saw in the Rutzik case. And one of the issues was that when Noor used the gun across his partner, that he put other people at risk. So it gets rid of the depraved mind issue, gets rid of all those arguments that need to be made. It's real interesting because with the third degree, you don't have the aiding and abetting charges. You can't attach those. So it's interesting that the judge got rid of a lesser charge, which would have been an out for the other officers to argue, or the other officers, you know, for a jury to drop to a lesser charge, and then they would have gotten out because you need the second degree in order to get the aiding and abetting.
Wow. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So in the end, this may not be a very good ruling for the defense. Now, the one thing that's got to be kept in mind is we never were able to get a grand jury to look at this because of COVID and because all the issues are going on. A grand jury never came back with whether it was first degree or what should be charged out. So Freeman started with the third degree, and then when Ellison took over the case, they advanced to the second degree, and that's when they added the aiding and abetting because you needed second degree in order to do that.
Yeah. Well, we'll clarify this, and you were just about to do it, but I want you to go a step further. Talk about how this impacts the other three officers.
Well, if he had gotten rid of the second degree, they would have been gone. Because you need the second degree. You need a second degree conviction in order to get the aiding and abetting on the other three officers. So
no,
I'm
talking about the charge that was dropped today, the third degree. Does that affect them in any way?
None whatsoever. Well, yes and no, because you wouldn't get aiding and abetting on the third degree. So if the jury had listened to it and thought, nah, we don't think it's second degree, but we'll convict him a third degree, they would all gotten off because you can't have aiding and abetting with third degree.
I got you. We're talking to local attorney Mike Bryant from Bradshaw and Bryant here. Henry Lake in for Paul and Jordana on News Talk 830 WCCO. So, in your opinion, what is next for Derek Chauvin's case here?
Well, you know, we're going to hear whether or not the trial's going to get moved. That's going to be an issue. And then we're also going to hear if the judge is going to separate the trials or try them all together. So those are other moves that are coming. But, you know, this was a big one. And, you know, I know people, you know, in the public will hear that there were a charge that was dropped. But the reality is I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, even though the second degree is harder to prove, that you have to prove that to get the aiding and abetting. So since you have to prove that anyway, you know, that's what the prosecutor was planning to do anyway, because they were planning to convict him of second degree and the aiding and abetting charge on the other three officers.
Yeah, it's one of those news days and stories in which, you know, I think that the general public will hear charge dropped. And you know what I'm saying? A lot of times, yep, you don't really go into the background of it all. And that's why we have an individual like yourself that's an expert on this from a legal perspective, because I think that the general public will see it and then they'll have a negative vibe and negative thought about it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and that's natural. But, you know, lesser charges, I mean, a lot of defendants want lesser charges just because that gives the jury an out. So if juries have questions, and if you get a lesser charge, you have less of a penalty. And for the other officers, it would have let them out completely. So, yeah, I don't know in the end if this is going to be ever seen as any kind of success for the defense.
Talking to local attorney Mike Bryant from Bradshaw and Bryant here. Henry Lake in for Paul and Jordana on News Talk 830 WCCO. How should Minnesotans who very much care about justice for George Floyd react to this news today?
Well, I think it's another step. I mean, part of it depends on what your opinion about it is anyway. If you think that what he did was wrong and that he should, you know, stand for that and that the other officers are wrong, then it didn't change anything. If you somehow believe that he didn't do something wrong, that the other officers are off, I don't know that, like I said, that this would be a success for them, because everybody's still in it. There's still a trial. There's still fact issues for juries to look at. And none of the four officers were released as a result of that, as that opinion. So, you know, kind of, I guess overall, it depends on what your view is going in on it. I think it's hard to watch that video and not have a view on it, but, yeah. You know, and when the public on the sidewalk is standing there and saying, Jesus, that guy's dying, you know, if they could see it, seems like everybody should have been able to see it.
Yeah. You know, Mike, let me ask you this question, because I've heard of you for a long, long time. This is my first opportunity to have you on the air to talk to you. And I appreciate it here on short notice. But my question is this, since this is our first time talking, and when you had him get, reach bail or bond or whatever, just recently, did it surprise you at all when we learned that he could leave the state? Did any of that, the circumstances surrounding that, did any of that surprise you at all?
That was shocking. We've been involved in so many cases where, you know, people have family members that die, that they have people on sick beds and they're not allowed to go someplace, even if it's local. And to allow someone to go out of state, even with protections as far as phone calls, and he's supposed to be immediately back and those type of things. But boy, yeah, that was quite a surprise. And you know, I guess it's based upon an argument that there's some kind of threat against him personally. And I don't know. There's been, you know, horrible thing, you know, not horrible, but there's been things that have happened with the lawyers you don't like to see. I mean, they're doing their job, and you know, the idea of attacking their car or having the fights with the lawyers outside, they're doing what they're going to do, which is represent these guys, because they have a right to be represented. Everybody has a right to be represented. Everybody has a right to be convicted. That's what our Constitution's about. But the idea that, you know, he's such a threat that he's allowed to go outside the state, that's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah.
Now, that may be the thing that the judge uses to say, look, I gave him that benefit, but we're going to try the case here. We're not going to move the trial. We're going to keep the trial here. So that may have been some sort of thing to the defense saying, look, I kept your guy, so he was able to hide out wherever he's going to hide out. And, you know, but we're going to keep the trial here. And that's going to be an interesting thing, because I don't know that other courtrooms in either St. Cloud or Rochester or Moorhead or Duluth are sitting there thinking, boy, we want this thing to come to town, you know?
Yeah, I totally get it. Local attorney Mike Bryant from Bradshaw and Bryant. Hey, Mike, a pleasure to chat with you on the air. Thanks for your perspective. Thanks for your expertise and insight. And we'll talk to you later.
Great. Thank you very much. You're a joy to follow on Twitter.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. That's Mike Bryant from Bradshaw and Bryant here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. We'll take a break, take a look at the local weather, and then coming up next, we'll talk Minnesota Viking football, Matthew Collar, Purple Insider podcast and newsletter. A lot of news with the Minnesota Vikings today. We'll get to that next year. Henry Lake in for Paul and Jordana. All right, welcome back to Newstalk 830 WCCO. Henry Lake in for Paul and Jordana. It's been a big news day with regards to the Minnesota Vikings. A lot of things to discuss and talk about. We'll do that with Matthew Collar from the Purple Insider podcast and newsletter here on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Also, in case you had not heard, earlier in the hour, at the top of the hour rather, Laura Oaks broke into the show and gave us the sad news, the tragic news that Matt Blair, former Minnesota Viking, passed away today, just recently, at the age of 70. So some very sad news. And personally, like I mentioned, when she broke the news live on air, I knew Matt Blair many, many years ago when I was a kid. He was one of my favorite members of the Minnesota Vikings. He was really good friends with my Aunt Hazel. He knew my mother and father. And so just a really nice man. Beyond just being a good athlete, but also his passion for photography and taking pictures and all that, he will absolutely be missed. But let's talk Viking football with Matthew Collar, Purple Insider podcast and newsletter, on a big day, a big news day with regards to the Minnesota Vikings. And I guess I want to start with, well, first off, Matt, thanks for being on the show. I want to start with the... the news that broke this morning that the team had traded away defensive end Yannick Ngakoue to the Baltimore Ravens for what sources are saying is a third round pick and a conditional fifth rounder. And remember now, prior to the start of the season, the Minnesota Vikings, they traded away a second and a fifth for Ngakoue. Your thoughts on today's developments?
Yeah, first, I'm really proving to CCO listeners that I am available all the time for you. the trade, I think, I'm not surprised that it happened, because I think once they got Ngakoue here and saw him up close and had him in the building and saw his game tape, that they had to look at this and say, I don't think this is a guy that we want to pay $20 or $25 million a year next year after his contract comes up. And so the best option is to move him to the highest bidder now. And so from that perspective, it's a good move to, you know, bail on something that you don't think is going to work long term. And of course, you know, you're not going to get a whole lot of value out of him for the rest of the season playing for a team that is not really competing for the playoffs. But the way I also look at it is, you don't really get a whole lot of credit for starting a house on fire and then putting it out. Like, this was a move that was panicked early in the season. I know that Rick Spielman said that their initial plan was to have Ngakoue and Daniil Hunter playing together, but Daniil Hunter wasn't even practicing at the time that they traded for Yannick Ngakoue, and I think it was more of a panicked move of, uh-oh, Daniil Hunter's out. We're really lacking a pass rush. Our young cornerbacks are going to have some trouble, so we have to go out and do something. And it sort of shows you for how they miscalculated where they would be this season, that they believed they would be a highly competitive team that needed one more piece to help them get into the playoffs and then maybe sign Ngakoue long-term. And instead, they just whiffed on that entirely and are 1-5. And so now they're in a position to try and put out that fire. But still, it sort of signifies a big miss in the perception that they had going into the season. And now, you know, yeah, okay, they got a decent draft pick back. But compared to where they would have been drafting in the second round and now to the third round of Baltimore, that's like 50 spots. I mean, that's a pretty significant difference. So they've really hurt themselves in the long term here.
Oh, Rick Spielman gets an F for this. And I said this at the beginning of the year. The Minnesota Vikings and Rick Spielman specifically have been just terrible at doing these type of trades at the beginning of the year. It just, it's got awful. They did it with trading for a kicker that they ended up cutting before the season even started. They did this with Sam Bradford, in which they traded away for a first round pick. And I get it. Sam Bradford was, he was halfway decent that year, but you just don't make moves like that. None of these moves ever really amount to anything. And this was just another, a move that Rick Spielman made where he gets an F. Oh, beyond me criticizing Rick Spielman, I do want to get your thoughts on Danielle Hunter. Now he's done for the year. He's going to have surgery on the herniated disc in his neck. And I think that this whole entire situation with Danielle Hunter has blown up in Coach Zimmer's face. Whenever you tell your fan base, it's a tweak and you stay with that and you stay with that. And then he goes on, IR and now he's shut down and he hasn't played a game. This is a terrible look for the organization.
Yes, I totally agree. And I think the fact that Ian Rappaport's report also added that he wants a new contract or to be traded also says a lot about where you're at as an organization. And, you know, I think that there's something, and I'll be honest, in my write-up about today's events, I kind of forgot about this. And then I saw that another reporter included it, that Riley Reiff also took a pay cut to keep Yannick Ngakoue, or to make the Yannick Ngakoue trade work. And so you think about like how just bad of a situation it must be to have Riley Reiff cannot be happy with losing like $5 million for a trade that did nothing. You had a lot of other players leave when they didn't necessarily have to, like Everson Griffin. I know that they wanted Xavier Rhodes to return, wanted Mackenzie Alexander. And then now the cherry on top is you have Danielle Hunter saying, or at least his side telling Ian Rappaport that, oh yeah, he's going to want a new contract, by the way, or you need to trade him as well. This is a team that just a couple of years ago, we were talking about, hey, all these guys want to stay. They're all signing contracts to stay here. And now, you know, it sort of reminds me of like, the end of the Godfather. Do you remember, I think Godfather 2, the very end where they sort of show a scene from a long time before that. And it's like, how much things have changed in just a short period of time. Well, that's kind of how I feel about this team. It wasn't that long ago in our lives, Henry, that we were talking about, you know, hey, they've got this, you know, expensive quarterback they brought in to replace Keenum, and they've re-signed everybody. And now you look at where they are, and we feel a million miles from that.
Talking to Matthew Kyler from the Purple Insider podcast and newsletter here. Henry Lake in for Paul and Jordana here on CCO. All right, final question because we're short on time here, but I want to throw this out there to you because I want you to kind of lay it out there for the listening audience. What was the tone from Rick Spielman today when he was talking to the media in regards to Kirk Cousins? You know, there's a lot of questions that people have about Kirk Cousins. I think the fan base is right now starting to turn on the starting quarterback of the team. Everybody is very disgruntled with him. You would imagine there's rumblings about players being frustrated with Kirk and the lack of you know, good play here lately. What did he have to say about his quarterback today?
Yeah, I mean, he said the words, I don't think anyone's lost faith in Kirk Cousins. I mean, those words came out of his mouth. But at the same time, it was like you didn't really feel them, because when you look at like even his explanation for why they signed Cousins to a contract extension, it started with, well, we had to create cap space. It wasn't, oh my gosh, we couldn't get enough of Kirk Cousins after last year. It was, well, you know, he's good on throwing the deep balls off of play action. There was nothing that gave you the feeling of defiance at some of the questions about Kirk Cousins. And this is, to me, what will define if Rick Spielman has a chance to rebuild this team. What will define the future of the Vikings is Do they go into this offseason saying we have to get on the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes plan, which means, you know, trading away Cousins and drafting a quarterback, maybe even a quarterback who sits for a year, but deciding that this is not your guy for the very long term? Or do they think they're just going to rebuild quickly next year and draft a, you know, a defensive tackle or something? And, you know, I think that that will really shape the way the future looks. I just got the sense that Spielman understood why there was all the questions and maybe was having some regrets himself. But of course, he can't say that because he's the one that made that move. And if he admits that it was a mistake, he might as well hand in his resignation at the same time.
I'm with you. That's Matthew Collar from the Purple Insider podcast and newsletter. Give him a follow on Twitter. Hey, Matthew, I appreciate the time today on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Hey, truly anytime, Henry.
All right, take care. Take care. All right, coming up next, we'll take another look, glance at the weather. And I want to elaborate a couple of more minutes in regards to Minnesota Viking football, because I am one of those agitated fans and broadcasters and media members. We'll do that next year. Henry Lake in for Paul and Jordana. All right, welcome back. Henry Lake in for Paul and Jordana on this Thursday drive time afternoon. I want to expand just a couple of more minutes on the failures of the Minnesota Vikings this season. We've all seen the product on the field. It's not been good. And I think that if you're a real fan, you can praise the team when they are doing the things that they need to do and they're making good moves. But I think that you can also be a fan and criticize the team when they do things that don't work out and deserve some criticism. That's what makes you a fan. And I claim to be a fan. Yeah, I'm a media member and I have a job to do, and I'm supposed to be critical when the time calls for that, and also give them accolades and praise when they're doing a good job. That's only right, right? That's only fair. Be fair and balanced in your reporting, right? I don't like the fact that going back to training camp, that, and I'm a Mike Zimmer fan, okay? Let me note that for the people. I am a fan. And I know that some people after the game against Atlanta called for his job and said he needed to go and he should be immediately fired and all that. I am not there with Coach Zimmer, okay? I appreciate, I respect Coach Zimmer. I like Coach Zimmer. But I think he made a massive mistake back in training camp. And the mistake was him categorizing Danielle Hunter's injury as a tweak. The guy's not practicing. And it's one thing to say that, like, in the moment at the start. But as things linger and things aren't getting better, you can't continue to tell people that. And now, look, I understand it, what coaches say to media members, okay? Because a lot of times they don't want to report things to us and things, you know, we describe things in a certain way, or just, you know, you don't always want the truth to get out. But the reality is that you're not just talking to media members, you're talking to your fan base. And your fan base is going to go off of reports. They're going to go off of quotes. They're going to go off of what you say and internalize it. And when the star player on your defense, one of them, because you got several, ends up on IR and then ends up not playing it down this season and is going to have season-ending surgery, that's a massive miscalculation on your part. So in that department, as much as I like Coach Zimmer, he gets a failing grade for that. He has to. He has to. And Rich Spielman, he has made some really good quality selections in the draft for this organization. He has also had some missteps. Okay? And I know that we're years removed from Christian Ponder. Still, that sets you back. The situation with Treadwell, and look, I thought that Treadwell was going to be better too. It sets you back. He's had a lot of issues as well as good draft picks. He's had some good draft picks, and he's had some guys that he hit home runs with later in rounds. Hunter's one of them. Stephon Diggs, another. But he doesn't just get like a lifelong pass. And they keep, he keeps trading for guys before season start, and it never works out for us. I'm so thrown for a loop by that. We keep doing it. It traded with Baltimore last year for a kicker that never even made your roster. I didn't want to give up. I know I was living in Kansas City at the time, but I didn't want to give up a first-round pick for Sam Bradford. And I know that the Teddy Bridgewater situation puts you in a bind. But Bradford for one? No, thank you. That wasn't something that I wanted to do. So, I don't know, man. It sucks. And when you think, or if you're a Viking fan that thought that things potentially could get better, I don't think you're thinking that today. You're thinking, it is what it is. We're a bad football team for 2020, and we just got to ride it out. But it's hard to tell your fan base, look forward to the 2021 draft. Yeah, that's what I'm going to sell to DJ for the next few months. DJ, let's think about that top 10 draft pick we're going to have. That's what I'm going to sell to the fan base.
Especially since in this wild COVID 2020 year, the NFL is the one sport that looks the most the same, right? Like, we're playing 16 games in the stadiums. Nothing's in a bubble in Orlando or shortened to 60 games. It's like the real deal. And here we go. And we've got our quarterback. And then everything just falls flat. And it's a little disheartening.
Yep.
And
yep.
we've got a sports abyss coming. I mean, usually that's in the summer, but now we're not going to have basketball and hockey for a long time. And the Twins are done. All we've got is a terrible Vikings team to watch for the next who knows how many months.
And you know the worst thing about the Ngakoue trade is that you don't even recoup what you traded away. You slid from the second round to the third. My goodness. Unfortunate. All right, coming up in hour two, we're going to start with, well, something extremely prideful in Minnesota. It's not going to happen for everyone in the state in 2021. I'll explain what that is coming up next. Henry Lake in for Paul and Jordan.